Welcome back. Conor Pope, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great, Catherine. How are you getting on?
Good, good. And we're talking a lot, with chatting to you yesterday as well, but there's so much changing all the time on a day-to-day basis, as we know. And as I was saying just at the top of the show there, our chief medical officer urging people who've made bookings to travel abroad for holidays not to go ahead with that booking. So he's very concerned about it. What are our rights as a consumer? That's why we've got you here on the line. So look, at what is the story? If you've got the flights booked and you're now having second thoughts because of what Tony Holland said, where do we stand?
The really bad news for an awful lot of your listeners who are in this position, and there's going to be thousands and thousands of people out there in that position, is they have virtually no rights when it comes to travelling in the weeks ahead. The bottom line is that if the planes take off and you're not on the plane, you lose your money. End of story. And those are the rules that are in place right now. Now, it's an absurd situation, Catherine, because Tony Holohan said last night, and this is a direct quote from him, think about other people and the risk you might pose, even if you are infected and recover very well, and think about the people who are more vulnerable. So he's urging everybody to stay at home this summer. And so that's on the one hand. Then on the other hand, you have officials in the Department of Transport and the former Minister for Transport, Shane Ross, and you have government officials saying that the summer is not lost and there'll be air bridges opened across Europe and people will be able to take their holidays. Now, the thing is that people may be in a position, the flights may leave and these air bridges may open. But if you're heeding the advice of the chief medical officer and you decide not to travel, well, then you lose all the money. So what a lot of people are now saying is that something needs to be done to protect the consumers who are taking a responsible course of action, not traveling, but don't want to be out of pocket to the tune of thousands of euros in some instances. So that's the situation. It's terribly bad news for these people because, you know, in the normal circumstances, if the government put out an advisory saying do not travel to X country or Y country, well, then airlines wouldn't fly to those countries and people would get their money back. And that's how it would operate.
Because it's advice. It's not official. It's not government.
Well, exactly. But for instance, like remember a couple of years back, there was some terrible terrorist attacks in Tunisia and Egypt. And there was a travel advisory. The Department of Foreign Affairs advised people against non-essential travel to those countries. And once those travel advisories were put in place, people got their money back and airlines stopped flying to those countries. But now that the travel advisory is in place for the whole world, apart from this island, and the airlines and a lot of tour operators, not all of them, a lot of tour operators have been rushed to get the money back. And the really insane thing here is, if you travel against government advice, you invalidate your travel insurance. So you have absolutely no protections should anything at all happen to you while overseas. So not only does the chief medical advisor urge against travel,
you're not
travel
covered.
Insurance companies won't cover you if you do travel in the situation that exists now, and it's just putting people in an enormously difficult position. And you're not talking about small amounts of money here, Catherine. You're talking about thousands of euro for some people, and this is money they can ill afford to lose. Some of those people will have lost their jobs. A lot of them will have seen their income falling, and there's a huge amount of uncertainty in the country. So it's not even about people getting their money back at this stage. It's about a lot of people would bite the hands off airlines if they gave them vouchers, but the airlines are saying, no, it's all right, our planes are leaving, so pity about you.
And in fact, we are getting a couple of texts in here. Frank, I'm still waiting for money back from Aer Lingus since Easter. What's the delay at this stage? I opted for a voucher offered by Aer Lingus in March for a flight booked to the US. No voucher has appeared. Please ask Conor what I should do. And we've heard about this. There are delays, but Aer Lingus are issuing the vouchers. There is a delay in some instances, but people looking wondering where they are.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to the airlines, they're dealing with a situation
huge
that
amount.
Nobody could possibly have imagined. Like virtually every flight everywhere across the world was grounded for a period of 2 months, 3 months. Every one of those people was looking for refunds or vouchers. So I can understand there's delays and backlogs. And the normal rules of saying, oh, you have to wait 5 days or 7 working days before you get your refund, I can understand why that doesn't apply. But, you know, having said that, people can't just be left waiting for weeks or months on end. But even those people are better off than the person who might have their holiday booked to Malaga or to Corfu or wherever it might be on the 10th of July. If the plane takes off and an Irish person travels contrary to the advice of the chief medical officer, well, then they're putting their own health at risk. And frankly, they're putting the people at home's health at risk when they return. So it's just an awful position. And I do think that there needs to be some guidance from the very top in Ireland to try and give some comfort to these people who are living with a massive amount of uncertainty and have been for months. Mm.
And in lieu of that guidance coming from the top, what can people do now? I mean, is it worth talking? It's always worth talking to tour operators, you know, about possibly about playing the long game, pushing it out, that sort of thing.
100%. And I think some tour operators have been very accommodating. And some tour operators have said, listen, we understand that it's an extremely difficult position, so we'll push your holiday back to 2021. And that will suit an awful lot of people. I mean, in my own personal circumstances, I was due to go camping on two different occasions this summer, but both of the campsite operators have just said, listen, let's just write off 2020 and you can go in 2021. I'm happy with that. At least I've got my holiday paid for. But the important thing there was the dialogue that continued between me and the tour operators. But when it comes to airlines, it's a very different story because, as you well know, Catherine, it's virtually impossible to make contact with a human voice in any airline. And then even when you do make contact with that human voice, it's virtually impossible to get any information that will make any kind of sense to anybody. So, you know, keep a paper trail of all your correspondence, keep mailing the airlines, keep saying, listen, I'm open to discuss this, I want to discuss this. And then we just hope and pray that people will reach common sense decisions and everything will be okay.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it? And as you said, it really has to come from the top now. And it's about
the only
way is really forcing airlines to cancel certain flights. That's the only way people are going to get their money back.
Absolutely. Yeah. If the flights are cancelled, but even just very briefly, Catherine, we've seen this absurd situation with Aer Lingus in the United States in that they're flying flights to North America. Irish people have the tickets for those flights. They're not allowed onto the plane, never mind into America, as a result of travel restrictions that have been imposed in the US. But Aer Lingus legally can say, well, listen, the plane took off. It's not our problem that you couldn't get into the country. No money back. Now, that's not what Aer Lingus is saying. A lot of the time they are giving vouchers. But they're not compelled to give refunds or vouchers in those instances. Mm.
And look, it's such a difficult position for people to be in, making that decision. You know, as you said, thousands of euro. You and your family are fine. You're happy to travel. But now the advice has come that it's not safe and it's the right thing to do is to stay at home. So it's so conflicting. Anyway, Conor, thank you so much for coming on and giving us that insight. I'm going to talk to Sarah Hanrahan now. You heard there, we've been advised to cancel our overseas holidays this year. So what are our options for staycations? That's what we all really want to know now. Sarah is a personal Irish experience planner. That sounds awfully good. She's on the line now to guide us through how to plan our staycation. Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great. A personal Irish experience planner.
That's it.
Love it. So how long have you been one of them?
Well, I've been working in Irish culture for about 5 or 6 years, and I've been doing sort of Irish travel planning and Dublin event guides for years and years, and then started going into sort of bespoke travel planning for international tourists coming overseas. The service was offered from certain hotels around Dublin, and they could sort of avail of it if they wanted to or not. And then obviously with international travel up in the air, excuse the pun, I've kind of elaborated and changed it up a bit to focus on staycations for people in Ireland who want to travel in Ireland.
And it's brilliant because you just diversify your business, and people are looking for this information now. And actually, when you look at the trends over the years, people want to have an experience. You know, they want to come to Ireland, whether it's for an outdoor adventure experience or a foodie experience or a cultural experience.
I think there's a reason why Ireland is continuously rated one of the best places to travel to. You know, I think we all have a habit of overlooking that and kind of thinking there are kind of, you know, nicer places further afield. But there really is a reason why Ireland is so popular, and it offers everything. And I can guarantee that from my research and from my own personal experience.
Well, I suppose the one thing that you hear coming up time and time again, and I said it at the beginning, your week in Ireland is not going to cost you the same as a week in Spain. You know, the likelihood is with your two kids, traveling in Ireland is going to be more expensive than your package holiday in Spain. So, when you work with people, how do you work with people? For example, I get in touch with you. There's myself, Porrick and Ellie. There's three of us. We want a nice hotel, blah, blah, blah. Do you do personalised itineraries?
I do.
And you talk to all your clients beforehand?
That's exactly it. So it's completely bespoke, completely personalized for each individual. And I've had a huge array of, you know, it could be groups, it could be individuals, it could be couples, couples with young children, couples with teenage children. I cater for everybody. And what I usually do is it's a video consultation, a 30-minute consultation. I have a list of very detailed questions I ask them during the consultation to really get a gauge of what they want out of their experience, because I want it to be amazing. I'm so passionate about Ireland and I really want people to feel they're getting the most out of their money and out of their time. So I'll kind of gather exactly what they want out of their experience in Ireland, whether they want to stay in hotels, whether they kind of want Airbnbs, you know, what type of food they like, what are their interests, what makes a trip really special for them, what their budget is, everything. Yeah. And then I sit down and I plan a completely personalized trip for them.
And I love that. And you do practice what you preach, because you have a dog, so you like to holiday at home,
Stanley.
Because you can't bring Stanley abroad with you, so you've kind of traveled the byroads, yeah, and high roads of Ireland.
I got Stanley 4 years ago and it kind of really reignited my passion. Well, also I traveled a good bit after college and I kind of wanted to keep that gusto for exploring when I came back, and then I got Stanley and he's the love of my life and I wanted to bring him everywhere. Oh. So I'm very, very knowledgeable on dog friendly
hotels.
Well.
Where's the best dog friendly hotel or dog friendly area? I know we probably shouldn't be plugging particular hotels, but where have you had the best holiday?
There's no particular area as such. It actually, you could be kind of surprised. Some places I would have thought you go and it's really rural and the pub owner mightn't mind you popping in with the dog, and they very well might, and then vice versa. So I don't know whether there's one kind of particular, but I have done Cork, I've done Kerry, I've done Donegal. My parents live on the Iron Islands, so I'm always out there with him. He comes on the little 8-seater plane with me. So there's a lot of places. It's really up and coming, and a lot of places now are offering dog friendly rooms, even if it's in a separate part of the hotel, because a lot of people, when they want to travel in Ireland, you know, why not bring the dog? Kind of seems like one of the reasons to do it.
Well, a lot of people texting in that holidaying at home is too expensive and that they're probably going to have to forego it this year. So,
I don't agree.
Okay, so give us I'm family, 3 kids from Dublin, looking to go somewhere for a week. What would you suggest to do?
Well, right now, obviously, it's kind of unique because there are a lot of places that aren't necessarily open. More kind of outdoorsy activity places are opening, but again, we're not always guaranteed the weather. Right now in Ireland, I definitely think West Cork is somewhere that's really attractive with children, because there's just a lot of outdoor things that are definitely open. There's kind of snorkeling, surfing lessons, clay pigeon shooting. There's, you know, model railway villages. There's a lot of hotels that have like family rooms, kids clubs, leisure centres, pools, jungle gyms, that sort of thing. You can also stay, if you want to do self-catering, there's some really affordable Airbnbs. You can stay in your own treehouse even. You can make it amazing and then you can self-cater, and that does save a lot as well.
And have you noticed, Sarah, in terms of doing experiences for your clients, that prices have, like, what's your experience over the last couple of months with pricing across the board at home?
I mean, whether I've noticed an increase,
yeah,
or...
Yeah,
I haven't noticed, but what's really surprising to me is the amount of places that are booked up. I wasn't sure. It's kind of hard to gauge the tone with people and whether they've been nervous about booking, but I'm actually working on some itineraries today and there's a lot of places that I'm calling that are completely booked already.
Okay. I mean, that's the thing for people to get to kind of put something in the diary, yeah, now.
Yeah, and I didn't think that would be the case. I thought people would be more nervous maybe to book staycations, but definitely not from what I'm experiencing now, especially when it comes to the bank holiday weekends and, you know, the kind of the bigger weekends over the summer, they are fully booked a lot of the places.
So what sort of experiences off the top of your head? I mean, I know it's very difficult for you because it's, you know, you have to figure out who your client are and what their individual needs are. But I'm just looking at your site here. So there's sunset kayaking, hikes, trails, you do all sorts of stuff. So there's free stuff in there as well as experiences that you pay for then as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, I want people to get their value for money. And, you know, very few of us can afford to just throw caution to the wind and go off and spend whatever we'd like. Although it is amazing planning itineraries for people when they can do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of us are on a budget and we want to get the most amount for our money. So there are plenty of I would never or very rarely send someone off with an itinerary where everything is paid for. There's always going to be a lot of free activities, because at the end of the day, Ireland offers amazing free activities and we have gorgeous outdoor adventures that you can go on and you can pack a picnic. Or if you want to be, you know, extra fancy, there's castles that do picnics in a backpack for you, even cheese boards in a backpack, and you go off and explore the woodlands. And there's every level of every kind of price point for people.
And what's your favourite holiday in Ireland? Are you going to say the Iron Islands? Your folks are based there, are they? Or do they live there?
Parents, My parents live in Inishman. I love going there. But at the end of the day, I get to eat my mom's food and she's an amazing cook. So I don't know if she'd be too happy to have everyone over for dinner.
Somebody has said, holidays at home, there is no place better than Kilkee and the Loophead Peninsula in West Clare. Yes. Stunning cliffs and walks, lots to see and do. It's all on loophead.ie. Camping in Doolin, 6 nights, €150. Yes. Euro. Boom, says Philip.
There are loads of gorgeous glamping. You know, if people kind of want to camp, but they don't actually like the idea of roughing it, they just like the idea of being outdoors. We have a huge amount of glamping options in Ireland now. It's become really popular in the last couple of years.
Where would be the best ones that people could look up?
Oh, let me think.
I know Drumquina do them. John Brennan is doing them down there in Drumquina.
There are luxury yurts in Port Salon in Donegal, and yeah, they have gorgeous mountain views and they look stunning. I haven't actually been there, but I've sent people there. They look amazing.
Yeah, and great fun for kids as well, because it's something different. It's not just a hotel room.
And I also think it takes a lot of the stress out of travel planning. I'm not a nervous, my partner is a massive airport nervous person, you know, one of those people who just freaks about the whole logistics of getting on a plane and your liquids and the weight of your bag. It doesn't help that I'm always overpacked. But I think we kind of underestimate how much stress is involved in the logistics of getting to the airport, checking in, getting our baggage on, having our baggage arrive, all of that. And it takes all of that away from it, because, you know, when you're going on a staycation, you have a lot more room for movement in terms of what time you leave at and what time you come back at and what you back.
And I think it's a good way to look at it as well, that you can have, you know, 2 or 3 nights in your Airbnb or your glamping and maybe 1 night in a hotel to try and maybe look at 3 nights as opposed to a week to try and make
Absolutely.
It work. And I love the idea of house sharing, you know, with your family and friends, as long as it's done safely. And I just think that's such a great option now for people.
And even if you don't have a house to swap, there are lots of different options. There's pet sitting services where you can go and stay in someone's house while they're away and look after their pet and return for the stay. And there's loads of different options.
Okay. Well, what's your Instagram platform as well, Sarah, again,
just so we can... I Come Undone.
I Come Undone. Okay, brilliant. Yes. And people can get in touch with you there and avail of your services. So listen, well done.
I plan their dream Irish getaway.
Love it. Thank you so much. Best
thanks,
of luck.
Catherine,
and well done for diversifying with your business. I love
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Well done. That was Sarah Hanrahan there. Okay, we are going to be talking to a family after the break who brought not one, not two, but 3 newborns home during lockdown.